Hi, I'm Pastor Timothy Tomlinson. Thank you so much for joining me for today's message. Today, we're going to be talking about the importance of inner healing and how deeply important it is for it to be as part of the process for deliverance. Because a lot of times, at least a lot of the calls that I get are people, they say that they had deliverance. And I always ask them, if you had deliverance done, was healing and restoration part of that? And some of them will say yes, and then I'll say, hey, could you explain to me how it was part of it? And a lot of times they can't explain it because it wasn't truly part of the whole deliverance and inner healing process. So they just went through deliverance without any inner healing. But as you read the Word of God in Luke 4:18, Jesus is telling us to do a commission. He's also fulfilling Scripture on top of it at the same time. But it says there in Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So as we see here, Jesus is telling us in essence, a way for us to do this. He's giving us directions to heal the brokenhearted first before we ever do any deliverance, which is setting at liberty those that are oppressed. Those that are oppressed, oppression is the enemy coming against you and tormenting you. And so this has to happen beforehand, because if you don't, well, the enemy, he works off of legalities. And so as long as he has a legal right to be there, he'll continue. He's like a what I would call a sleazy lawyer that knows all of the loopholes. And so one of those loopholes is through the Word of God that he'll use, because we got wounded and hurt by somebody. And he'll continue, because of that hurt and that wound, to torment you. So anytime that you've ever been hurt by anybody, whether it was verbal, emotional, or mental, including physical and sexual, anytime you've ever been abused by anybody ever, from childhood to right now, that's an opening for the enemy to come in and to torment you. And it's just not abuse either. It's also that possibly it could be accidents, a car accident, plane accidents, whatever, boat accident. It also could be natural disasters, things out of your control. It could be a terrorist attack. Maybe even you're not part of it. You just watched it on TV and you got trauma from it. You could even slip and fall. There's tons of things that can create trauma in our life. And it doesn't have to be that someone's being verbally assaultive or someone's being, you know, physically abusive to you. So it happens time and time again. I remember this last year that it was pretty slippery out, and I slipped and fell. And when I did, I was going down this ramp, and I was able to grab hold of the railing and pull myself from slipping and falling and hitting my head. That created a little bit of trauma. Not only did that happen, I mean, I pulled my shoulder really bad, and I hurt it pretty good. And so I didn't recognize it at first that this was trauma, but it was, and the enemy came in like a flood, and he started tormenting me, and the Holy Spirit brought it to my attention, and he says, what are you doing? Why are you staying in this for? You got to get this healed in Jesus' name. And so it's important for us to get those areas of our lives healed way before we ever do any deliverance at all. And again, if you do deliverance without inner healing, then all you're doing is, you're telling these guys to go, and they're just coming right back because they have a legal right to stay. Now, the enemy comes in through sin. It's always enumerated in God's word with sin. And so it could be generational sin. And a lot of people, they just put this on the shelf and go, oh, yeah, whatever, generational stuff. But truly, it is a big deal. From Adam and Eve, there's immediately deception and the fall of man. And then they have children. They have Cain and Abel. And immediately with Cain and Abel, all of a sudden, there's death. Death going on because, you know, there's murder. And then on top of that, we just keep on going down the line, and there's sorcery, there is idolatry, there is tons and tons and tons of sin that happen, and wars, and you name it. And so that's all been brought up to where you are today. And so we just think about mom and dad, and we just think about maybe grandma and grandpa or great grandma and grandpa. But it truly goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. And we got to break that off in Jesus' name. And so it could be generational sin. It could be voluntary sin. Obviously, stuff that you have done. We all sin all the time. We gossip. We overeat. We cuss. We do all sorts of stuff. And it could be also sin that was perpetrated against us. And that means that someone that intentionally hurt you. And it could be like maybe you're in a relationship and they're verbally assaultive, or you have a boss that is verbally assaultive to you. Maybe you're in a relationship and someone's physically attacking you and hurting you, or sexually. And so these things here, they got to be healed in Jesus' name. And so the enemy will use the sin that was perpetrated against you, and through the trauma or the abuse, it's an entry point for the enemy to stay. And the enemy won't leave until that wound is healed in Jesus' name. So a lot of times what happens is that we get wounded and hurt, and then we just you know, push it down and try to forget about it. And that's called disassociation. And if we hurt ourselves as a child, or even as an adult, now if we scratch ourselves, we're like, oh no, there's an outward appearance of a wound. And so we're trying to do whatever we can to fix this. Oh, let's get it cleaned up, and let's get it disinfected. Let's put some bandages over this wound. But whenever we get hurt emotionally, then we don't do any of that. We just go, well, that's stunk. And then we just deal with it. And then we're supposed to forget about it and move on with life. But a lot of times we don't forget about it. It stays there in the back of your mind. And then sometimes the enemy will use that to his advantage because it never got healed, because maybe it brought in shame or anger or disappointment. And then sometimes even rage, because now you're upset about what happened to you and how you were treated. And so what we do is we just push that down, but then it comes right back up sooner or later because it was never healed or touched by the Lord. And so inner healing, it always has to be accompanied with deliverance. And you'd be surprised how much healing and restoration happens during deliverance as well. During the process of our deliverance, we find out what the enemy has done emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and physically, and break it off of you in Jesus' name. And how we break it off of you is that we would be asking the enemy. We'll go before the courts of heaven, and they will be given a list of instructions and directives from the Lord and sent back to earth bound. And also they'll have judgments as well if they don't comply. And during this time, I find out what they've done to you. And one of the things is that we'll find out what they've done to you emotionally. And when I say, what have you done to Jerry emotionally? And then they'll say, we've given him anger and anxiety and depression. And he worries all the time. And so when the enemy says this, then as part of the ministry, we say for each emotion, when they said that we've given him anger, I'll say, how many wounded parts are associated with anger? And they'll say, oh, there's 15 wounded parts. And I'll say, give me the age and the emotion of each one. And then they'll say at 5, there was fear. And at 8, there was rage. And at 12, there was terror. And each one of those wounds that the enemy tells me about, at the very end of deliverance, we have the Lord come in. And he does healing and restoration, just like he does for inner healing. And by doing this, this is how we break off the enemy's stronghold over your life, because he works with legalities. And so if there's 15 wounds associated with anger, those have to be healed in Jesus' name. And so we do that as well for every single emotion that he did to you emotionally. And then at the end, you'd see, oh my gosh, I had all these things healed in Jesus' name, because tons of healing and restoration happens during this process. What's unfortunate is that there's ministries out there that just they're just not doing this, and it's such a vital part of every ministry to have healing and restoration to be a part of this, because it's the foundation of what Jesus talks about here for deliverance, to heal the brokenhearted and then set at liberty those that are oppressed. If you do the set at liberty those that are oppressed without the healing the brokenhearted, then what we're left with is a broken person still, because they were never healed of their brokenheartedness. And if you look up the word brokenheartedness, it's not something that we say today, but truly, if we look at it immediately in Webster's Dictionary, it says bad, and it continues on with gloom and sadness, depression, melancholy, anxiety, worry, stress, woeful, loneliness, sorrow, and the list just goes on and on. And so the brokenhearted is everyone. Everyone in the entire world is brokenhearted. They've been hurt and wounded by someone or something in their life, and they need healing and restoration done. So that's why it's so important to heal these areas in your life. Without it, then the enemy continues to gain legal access over your life, and he still has the ability to torment all of those wounded parts inside of you. And there's lots of wounded parts. A lot of times, people, they'll get tormented by memories, and these memories have pain associated with them, and they need to be healed in Jesus' name. And a lot of times as well, after deliverance and inner healing is done, there's nothing done to continue the process of this ongoing sanctification process of inner healing and deliverance. Because if you go through it once, even if you got through inner healing 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times, six times, then you still need more healing, because there's hundreds upon hundreds of wounds that are out there that's never been healed by the Lord. So once you go through this process, you need to continue the process of inner healing, because what happens is in Isaiah 61:1, and here it is, just in Scripture, the same thing that I shared with you in Luke 4:18, but this is the prophet Isaiah saying it. At the very end, he says, and open the prison to those that are bound, to proclaim liberty to the captives and open the prison to those that are bound. So what happens is that before inner healing, you're stuck in prison. You're in a prison of darkness. And then once you go through deliverance, and then what happens in inner healing is that you broke out. You get broken out of prison and out of the darkness and into the light. And then you start to experience what the Scriptures say about the Lord leading and guiding you into truth. And so that's what starts happening. He starts leading and guiding you to truth, showing you that some things aren't right. And he'll start bringing back remembrance, things from your past that needs healing and restoration. Also, the Lord will use this opportunity as well to use others to trigger areas in your life that needs to get healed. So you'll use your friends and your family members and coworkers and even strangers to bring to your remembrance things that need to get healed. So if you ever start blowing up on people after inner healing and deliverance, and you have emotional overreaction, emotional shutdown, then the Holy Spirit, he's going to start whispering to you and saying, hey, that wasn't right. You shouldn't have acted that way. And so he'll tell you, hey, you need to get this healed in Jesus' name. Or if you just feel a certain way, maybe you feel just depressed out of the blue or anxious out of the blue. You don't know why. You just feel a certain way. You just feel out of sorts. Then you would use inner healing for that as well. Memories from your past, or if you feel like you're being tormented by the enemy, you would pull out that self-inner healing worksheet and use it over and over and over again. And it's similar to asking the Lord for forgiveness, because we sin all the time. So what we need to do is we come to him daily and ask for forgiveness. And here, he may come more than once a day to show us that something's not right, and that we need to get it healed and restored by the Lord. And so that's the whole process. It's such an important process for us to do as part of inner healing and any deliverance ministry, is to focus on healing first, always healing and then the deliverance. And even the deliverance part, there's tons of healing and restoration that goes on. I will thank you so much for joining me for today's quick message talking about inner healing, the importance of it, and as it being part of a deliverance ministry. If you have questions or concerns or would like to set up an appointment to do a session with myself here at our ministry, please feel free to give us a call, or you can email us, send us a message through one of our social networks, and we'll get in touch with you. Thank you so much for joining me today, and I hope you have a very, very blessed day.